All right. Good evening, everyone. It's a great time of year to be learning Maseches Sukkah. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, it was actually a
Good
lot of
point.
fun. I realized we could do this as we could have done this as an activity. Yesterday, I went to the Shul Sukkah to examine if it was kosher, and I found multiple issues,
Oh.
which has since been rectified, Baruch Hashem. But there were sections where there was a 3 tefach gap at the bottom of between the wall and the bottom of the sukkah, which I think we discussed last week. I think it came up last week. We discussed as an issue. There were parts where the wall did not align with the schach, and had an air gap of more than 3 tefachim. And Rabbi Cohen and I were talking about maybe putting tarp there, and we could do dofen akuma. We wound up going a different route. You're going to see there's a tarp on the side of the shul wall because we have those alcoves in there that bend in. So the issue is the schach doesn't go all the way into those gaps. So they had a tarp put going across everything to make a straight line. So there were some adjustments done to the sukkah to ensure it's kosher. So I realized if I had the forethought, we could have done a field trip. Maybe we could still do a field trip, and maybe we'll find issues that we didn't think about beforehand. Wouldn't that be a lot of fun?
Then we'll have to start circus all over again.
I know, and maybe we're better off not looking too closely.
Right.
Oh, okay, very good. So, welcome everyone who's joining us. We are on the top of Tesvav Ahmed Aleph of 15A, and as I said, don't so quickly forget what we learned the past 2 weeks or so about the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So, a brief overview is in order once more, just to reorient ourselves. You can look if you want, or you can listen. The Mishnah on Yudalit Amud Aleph on 14a told us that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Hun and Rabbi Meir about not using boards. But what kind of boards were they debating? So according to Rav, our Gemara until the very end is going to work under the premise of Rav. The machlokas is about 4 tefach wide boards. Anything less than that, everyone agrees is kosher. So Rabbi Huda says 4 tefach wide boards are okay, and Rabbi Meir says there's something called gezeiras tikra. It's so wide it looks like a roof already. We're afraid you're going to say, "What's the difference between a sukkah in my house? May as well stick around in my house," which of course is an issue. So that is the machlok. We had a machlokas, and we had a machlokas about the scope of the machlokas. Hopefully, this rings the bell, right? Okay, good. Very good. So, this Mishnah, by the way, the Gemara is going to initially assume it's disjointed, but toward the end of the Gemara, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. It's going to actually say that this Mishnah is just a continuation of the conversation from the previous one. And in fact, it features the characters from the previous Mishnah as well, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. But we're going to introduce some new friends, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What do I mean? Let's read the Mishnah. Tikra she'ein aleha ma'aziva. Let's say you have a roof. Now, Tikra, we're going with Rashi's interpretation of the roof, of the ceiling. Tikra means that we're talking about boards that are more than 4 tefachim. That's the definition. But you did not yet plaster it in. So it's not fully in yet. There's still just a bunch of boards. And you want to see if you can convert it into a legitimate sukkah for the holiday. So what are your options? What do you need to do to make it kosher for a sukkah? So Rabbi Yehuda says, it's a machlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Amrei mefakfek v'notel achas mibentayim, that you first have to move around everything and put it down l'shem schach for the sake of schach, and because boards are not kosher schach, they're too wide, you have to take every other board out and put kosher schach in between. Now you might be asking, is 50-50 sufficient, or does it need to be 51-49? That will be the next Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. So if you're wondering that question, hold that question. The Gemara will address it in a different format. And now, continuing, Rabbi Huda says that according to Ubeis Hillel Omrim, the fak fake oh no talks me being time. You can choose either one. Unlike Beis Shammai in the standard reading of the Mishnah, who says you need to do both things, Beis Hillel says you can choose either to kind of, push all the schach up and put it back down the shame sale, or you can just replace some of the boards with schach and put it down for that purpose. You're going to ask, what's the motive between doing one or the other? That's exactly what the Gemara is going to address. The Gemara, right off the bat, will ask, what's the rationale behind these different maneuvers? Rabbi Meir Omer, so that Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is being reported to us by Rabbi Yehuda. And implicitly, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, because we pass him like Beis Hillel, is that we hold like Beis Hillel that you can choose one or the other. Whereas Rabbi Meir Omer, you don't get a choice. No till achas mi time ve'ino mefakfig. Pushing up the boards and putting them back down is not going to help because the boards are inherently puzzle. So putting puzzle boards back onto the ceiling, back onto the top of your eschach, is just as bad as it was the first time. You didn't solve the issue.
I'm sorry, I lost you. Why are they puzzle?
Because they're too wide. Four tefachim wide, according to Rabbi Meir, that's the Gezeiras Tikra, that they resemble a roof. So
But
this is
I'm
the
having trouble. Yeah, I'm having trouble just picturing the why are they already up there? I
so
mean,
this is
it sounds like you're taking it down from an existing house.
so not an existing house, but a house that was in the process of being built. So you didn't plaster it in yet, but you're like, I'm in the middle of contracting this house to be made. And you know what? Oh, there's only boards up there right now. Maybe I may as well use it for the Sukkah holiday. And then after Sukkot, I can continue making it. So the question is, if you didn't go so far as to plaster it in and you just have literal wooden boards up there, can the wooden boards serve as schach? And what do you need to do, if anything, in order to rectify it and make it kosher for schach?
But the sides are not a sukkah.
Sides can be a sukkah, why not? You got four walls. You don't even need four walls. You got two walls and a tefach.
But
As far as
don't you have to put it up with the intent that it's a sukkah?
only
Like
the
are those
schach.
walls?
Only the schach needs to be put on the shame sale.
Rabbi,
Yes, Phyllis.
I have a question. I don't understand what is the coat of plaster doing there? I
There is
didn't
no
know
coat of plaster.
that.
It's dafka not there.
Well, why are they speaking about it? I mean, I would never have thought to even include that in.
The reason this is important is because it's telling us. So we're gonna jump into the Gemara in just a moment, but I guess I'll tell it to you before we get into the Gemara because we need the Gemara is also puzzled by this, by the way. But the Gemara is gonna explain in just a moment that you need to put. There's a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel we saw earlier. What kind of kavanah do you need to have when building a sukkah? So Beis Shammai says it needs to be done l'shem mitzvah. It has to be done for the sake of mitzvahs yom tov. You're dafka doing it for building a sukkah for the mitzvah of sukkah. Beis Hillel said, remember we talked about all types of different sukkahs, like a ganvach and everything, that a sukkah, as long as it's made for protecting from the sun and arguably other elements, then that's okay. It doesn't need to be explicitly for the sake of a sukkah, of the mitzvah of sukkah. So anyway, the issue here is that you're making it for the sake of it being a roof. You want it to be like a house, not to
Oh.
just, right? So you want to put it down with the right kavana this time. That's the idea. Okay, so here we go. Right? Did we finish reading the Mishnah, or did I not finish? We did finish. No? I'll read the last line.
You did.
We did. Okay, thank you. So here we go. The Gemara now is wondering the same questions that you're all wondering, which is, I hear all these different methods about rectifying the problem, but what is the problem that we are trying to rectify? And that's always an important thing. I remember when I was giving shiurim when I was a rabbinic intern, like the title of the shiur would be, let's say, the issue of mixed seating. So I immediately start off giving answers to why it's not a problem. But before you give answers to why something's not a problem, you first have to identify why you think it would be a problem, right? Because if we assume everything's mutter until proven usser, you have to first make the case for why something's usser before you swoop in and explain why it's mutter or why it's okay. So you have to first understand what's wrong with this schach in the first place to understand why we're applying these maneuvers to begin with. So bishlama beis hillel tamayim mishum tasev lo min asai. Our good friend, this concept will keep resurfacing. Tasev lo min ha'asoy, which means, in fact, I was telling Rabbi Cohn about this. Chris put up our sukkah. So he had the Masorah for many years. Chris knows the protocols here, or I mean, well, Chris has since moved on. I'm sure it's public knowledge at this point, right? Well, if you don't see him around, because he's served 10 good years over here, I think, at the shul. But he knew that you're supposed to first build the walls of the sukkah and then put the schach on. So the issue over here is tasev lo min ha'asoy. And so how are we going to solve that problem? So if the issue here is tasev lo min ha'asoy, so then over here, either way, as long as you either put the schach up and put it back down, or you replace some of the boards with smaller schach, the point is that you're doing a maisa, you're doing an action to it, so that when you do that action, you're redesignating it in a kosher manner. Ela beisha, so that makes sense for Beis Hillel why you can choose one or the other, because we're trying to solve an issue of tasa velo min ha'asoy. Whereas, according to Ela Beis Shammai, my tamayhu imishim tasa min ha'asoy b'chadasagi. If Beis Shammai's concern is solely the issue of tasa min ha'asoy, then he should give you a choice. They should give you a choice, just like Beis Hillel gives you a choice. But imishum gezeres tikra. But if there's something fundamentally wrong with the dimensions of the schach, benota achzim being time sagi. Again, you should only have to replace some of the boards with kosher schach. Why, in addition to replacing the boards, do you need to also be mefakfek? Because inherent also with replacing the boards, you are doing a maisa at the same time. So why is Beis Shammai, if Beis Shammai requires you to actually go out of your way to replace some of the boards with kosher schach, why in addition to that, what's that going to do that I don't have already by then pushing up, you know, everything and putting it back down? What does that add? And indeed, this is such a compelling question that the Gemara is forced to reinterpret how we read Beis Shammai in the Mishnah. The you can say either the text of the Mishnah is incorrect, or we need to put some words in between the lines. La'olam, mishum gezeres tikra. Yes, Beis Shammai has a concern in addition to Beis Hillel, which is gezeres tikra, that there's something inherently problematic with the dimensions of the schach. V'halki ka'amri, this is really what they're saying. Af al pisha mefakveg, even if you go ahead and you adjust the schach and you push it up and you put it back down, time in elo lo. He's saying, even if you're mefakfik, that will not be sufficient unless you go so far as to put new schach down in place, at least, you know, 50-50 or maybe 51-49 of where the non-kosher schach was. So rather than saying you have to do both, it's saying that if you did mefakfik, that's not good enough. You have to then go ahead and replace some of the schach. But if you just initially replace some of the schach and weren't mefak fake, that would be sufficient as well. Okay? So this is really nice. The issue, the Gemara is about to say, is that, wait a minute, that sounds like a very familiar shita. Right? Whose shita is that? Ihachi, Ema Seifa, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Notol Achaz Yunitayim, Avalo Yifak fake. So Rabbi Meir, Hainu Beis Shammai. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir, because what does Rabbi Meir say at the end of the Mishnah? No to achas being time being a fakvik. You have to replace some of the schach. You being a fakvik is not sufficient. So I don't get it. Beis Shammai shita being presented by Rabbi Yehuda is the same as Rabbi Meir. So why doesn't the Mishnah just identify them as the same shita then, instead of making it sound like you're two different shitas? So hachi kamar. We have to understand the dynamic of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is saying there's a machlokis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and of course I side with Beis Hillel, who's the winner, who says that there's no issue with the dimensions of the schach. Rabbi Meir is replying and saying no, there's no unique shita of Beis Hillel here that disagrees with Beis Shammai. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are in agreement that being a fakfake is insufficient and you need to replace some of the schach. That's how we're saying it. So it's not that he's the same as, but he's saying is there is no machlokas. Everyone agrees with me. That's what Rabbi Meir's response is. Okay, so that's the end of that piece. I mean, it's not really the end because this whole entire Gemara is just a continuation of this discussion. Any just strictly clarifying question? Anything I could just clarify? Anything on anything that didn't make sense or that I could go over on that piece right there? Okay. So my Kamash Malan, the Rabbi Meir, Isle Gezeres Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda, Leisle Gezeres Tikra. I don't get it. You know, why did we need a second Mishnah to drive home the idea that that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have a disagreement about whether four tefach boards are kosher apostle snach? Vafligu ba chadazina. We already learned this in the previous Mishnah. It's not Misachim ben Asarim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Oser. We literally just had in the previous Mishnah a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about whether using four tefach boards are kosher. So what is this Mishnah adding fundamentally that I couldn't figure out from the previous Mishnah? So Amar Rav Chiya, here's an attempt. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Reisha b'disar mishufin askinan, mishum gzeres kalim naguba. Maybe, follow this one, the current Mishnah that we're up to, the second Mishnah, today's Mishnah, is introducing a debate about boards. What's the debate in the previous Mishnah? Nothing to do with the dimensions of the boards, but about the finishing of the boards. If the boards are, they can be less than four tefachim, they're thinner. But if they are smoothed out, right? Rashi says, where's Rashi? There was a Rashi that, yeah. So we know that if you have poles or boards that are complete and they are ready for use, they have a hole in it, so they have a base kibbel, so then they're susceptible to becoming tame. So what if you have these poles that they're polished, they're not quite finished just yet? Should we be gozer, are the sages concerned that you might come to confuse it with other boards that are mekabel tuma? So Rabbi Meir in the first Mishnah is saying, yes, we are gozer. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, we're not gozer on polished boards. And then in Mishnah number two, tonight's Mishnah, that's actually when we introduce the issue of gezeras tikra, of boards that are an issue by virtue of their dimensions as opposed to their texture, for lack of a better term. However, this presentation is challenged. L'Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Sicha Bechitzin Zecharim Kishera V'Nekevos Psula L'Gazer Zecharim Atu Nekevos Achinami L'Nigzer Nesar Meshufin Atu Kelim. So if you remember, we had a discussion not so long ago about arrow shafts. So there's two kinds of arrow shafts. It could either, the shaft of the arrow goes into the arrowhead, which has a hole, or the arrowhead is put into the shaft, which has a hole. So the one that the shaft that is pointy does not have a hole are referred to as zecharim, as to males, and the one with the hole is referred to as female. So the ones that do not have a hole are not mekabel tuma. The ones that do have a hole are mekabel tuma. So we already established previously, there's a bit of a question, you know, why we are beholden to Rav Yehuda over here, but the Rav Yehuda Marav established that we do not make a gezeira. We're not concerned that you're going to use the female arrow shafts instead of the male ones. So the same way, we're not going out of our way to say, well, the male shafts are okay, but you might come to confuse them with the female ones, and the female ones are not kosher for schach. We're not concerned that there's going to be that much confusion. So similarly, over here, hachanami lo nigzar nisar meshuvin atu kalim. We shouldn't have to be concerned that polished or smoothed over boards are going to be confused with actual kalim, with actual vessels. So that doesn't seem, in other words, our suggestion for the debate of the first mishnah being about these smoothed over finished or polished boards is not a compelling framework. Thus, we return back to our original assumption, which, I mean, I don't want to obviously, who am I to say otherwise, but I kind of, this next step in the Gemara is kind of just how I assumed the Mishnah operated the entire time. And I think you might agree with me. Ela al karchach reisha pligi b'gezeiras tikra useiva pligi b'gezeiras tikra. Both Mishnayos are talking about the same issue of gezeiras tikra, in which the boards are too wide, and it's the debate between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Meir where we draw the line. V'flugi b'tarti zimni lamali. So, if so, why did they have to have the same debate twice in the Mishnah? Why it wasn't just once enough to codify it? To save Rabbi Yehuda, he deka'amar le the Rabbi Meir, amayka sarta b'nisar mishum gezeiras tikra. Hai sar Rabbi Shammai hu de islahu. We say, oh, lo gazri. So, basically, what it sounds like the Gemara is saying is that tonight's Mishnah, it's really just a continuation of the conversation from the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we were not given much information other than Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir disagree on whether boards are kosher schach. Then our Mishnah continues, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, our debate is really a debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And by the way, the side that I subscribe to is actually Beis Hillel's position, that there's no issue with the wide boards. So why would you side with Beis Shammai, who we don't paskin like? And Amar le Rabbi Meir lo nechlu Beis Shammai b'silva davar zeh. To which Rabbi Meir then responds, "What do you mean? There is no debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai. They both agree, like I say, that boards that are four tefachim wide are an issue." Basically, what this just means in the end is that our mission tonight is a continuation of last week's or 2 weeks ago's Mishnah, and we really, I'm sure someone must address this somewhere. I am personally puzzled as to why this wasn't just the assumed interpretation of the Mishnah from the get-go. Maybe the question is, it sounds like our new Mishnah isn't fundamentally adding much to the debate. You know, there's maybe squabbling's not, that has a negative connotation, but you know, they're debating about whether Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai agrees with them. But we already know the fundamental debate. So anyway, that's what it seems like. So let me pause. Any questions? I hope this is not too head spinning, keeping track of the machlokus, to understand the machlokus of the machlokus or something. Okay. We get to our final section before the next Mishnah, which is Hanicha l'Rav de Amar Machlokis b'Shiyesh behen Arba. The entire time tonight, this entire discussion is predicated on Rav's framework, Rav's understanding of the scope of the Machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which is what? Rabbi Meir is like Gezeiras Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda leisle gezeiras tikra. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda leisle gezeiras tikra. That they are debating whether this gezeiras tikra for four tefachim wide boards. That is the debate that's taking place in the Mishnah. But the issue is ela lishmuel d'amar b'she'ein behen arba machlokis aval yesh behen arba divrei kol psula seifa b'may pligi. But according to Shmuel, in which everybody agrees that Nisarim, boards that are four tefachim wide, that clearly resemble the roof of someone's house, even Rabbi Huda concedes that they're an issue. Their debate is only between three to four tefachim. How do I make sense of the Mishnah? Rashi explains, Machlokas Rishon, but we'll just go with Rashi for simplicity. Rashi explains that the definition of Tikra in our Mishnah is a board that is at least four tefachim wide. So here's the issue. If our Mishnah is talking about boards that are four tefachim wide, according to Shmuel, even Rabbi Yehuda concedes that boards that are four tefachim wide are not kosher? If so, how can Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, according to Shmuel, say that Tikra is inherently kosher and the only issue is Tasev L'menasoi? So therefore, according to Shmuel, we need a different interpretation of what is going on in this Mishnah, which actually answers nicely what this Mishnah is coming to add to the previous one. Bibitule Tikra Kamiflagi, Mar Savar Batla Bahachi, or Mar Savar Bahachi Lo Batla. What is going on over here? So this is what's interesting. Rashi tells us that you can. I'll read the important part of Rashi inside. It is the last Rashi before the Mishnah. Rashi tells us what is the case over here. Not where you're creating the sukkah from the beginning. Avlahashta dezo tikra haisa. This is important. Remember, I think Toby Phyllis, you're raising that. It's so interesting. The case of our Mishnah is where a guy is in the middle of building a house. What's the importance of, you know, the backstory of why he was building it? So Alahashta Dezotikra Haisa, that this was actually initially made to be a roof, Ubali de Maisa Lazis Lashem Sukkah, and you went out of your way to pick it up and put it back down for the sake of it being a sukkah, the Zemochia Shayodea Shaamra Torah Tasal Manasoi. So you know what Rabbi Yehuda holds according to Shmuel here? The Nesarim could be okay in this scenario. Maybe, even according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda could be okay with four tevach wide boards when it's in a scenario where they were set up initially for the house, but then you pick it up and you put it back in order to solve the issue of Tasev L'menasoi. Now, what is so special about this? It's almost counterintuitive, because you would think, if you're setting up the boards for the first time for the sake of the sukkah, it would not be an issue. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, dafka, where you put the boards down for a sukkah, four tefachim wide boards are an issue. But if you take a pre-existing structure and you take the boards and you put it back down on the sukkah, then it would actually be okay. Why? Because if you came to the Thursday night Gemara Shir and you know Hilchos Sukkah well enough, that there's something called Tasev L'menasoi, and you have to go out of your way to reapply the schach onto the sukkah so it's being done under the right conditions and in the right order, so then you are probably also the same person who's well aware enough that that you're supposed to sit in a sukkah and not sit in your house on sukkahs, and you're not going to confuse the two of those. So Rabbi Yehuda says that would be okay. And Rabbi Meir says, no, we are choshesh, we're concerned in either event. But that would be what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in our Mishnah, and that's why our Mishnah is specifying that we're talking about a roof of a house, and that's why he says you could be mefak fake, you just kind of put it back down, because it demonstrates an awareness that you're doing it dafka to turn it into a sukkah. So that's the... that's the fascinating take of Shmuel on how Shmuel would have to understand this Mishnah. Let me pause. We just made it to the next Mishnah. If you just don't mind, I just wanted to make a notation for myself. Forgot to mark something. Okay. Any questions? I know I just threw a lot at you over there. Paul?
Yeah, forgive me. When they talk about Kalim, are they talking about Kalim as we think of Kalim? Were they putting pots and plates on the sukkah?
No, it doesn't necessarily mean pot. Right. So colloquially, when we say kalim, you know, you think of tefilas kalim probably. Like, what do I have to bring to the kalim mikvah? But a kli could be, like we said, it could be a pole, like that. Think of that arrow shaft, the arrow shaft that has a hole in it that an arrowhead could go in. That's a kli also. So a kli is lav dafka, you know, in kashrus when we talk about kalim. But it's something that could, you know, has like a, it's a complete item that, you know, it doesn't have
man made.
Like a knife also could be makabel toma.
So does it infer man made?
No, it doesn't only. I mean, a kli is generally something that's man made, but something could be makabel toma even if it's not man-made. But it depends what level of tumah we're, in theory, food and beverages are susceptible to tumah, but it all depends on what degree, what level of tumah we're talking about. We're talking about kachim are more susceptible. So, are we talking about an av tumah, rishon tumah? So there's different degrees of tumah, and the higher the tumah level is, the more things it can infect. But certainly worthy of a broad overview. Worthy of its own share. We should do that at some point. That'd be good. All right. Any other questions we can address? All right. It's really funny. Next week we have a very small amud. If you take a peek at the next, I think what we'll do next week is we'll probably make our way almost halfway into Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, just so we don't log on for 5 minutes and call it a day. Or we could do that huge Tosas that starts in Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. All right. Next Mishnah. The next Mishnah talks about two different things. So if you are using, right, up until now we've been talking about boards and like they're made out of wood. In theory, they should be kosher, but dimensions are too big. Now we're talking about like metal poles. That's like exhibit A, non-kosher schach. Using from a aruchas hamita, which are from the bedposts. Rashi gives us the French word if you're interested. And the Gemara is going to explain that they're susceptible to becoming tame, because to your point, Paul, these are finished items that are susceptible to tuma. And then the second case in the Mishnah, which we are not addressing tonight, so we'll just briefly explain what it is. Hachote, oh, sorry, I didn't finish explaining the first part. The first part is saying that if you have non-kosher schach, so if you take away the non-kosher schach, and then you do 50-50 of kosher schach to non-kosher schach, it will be kosher. The Gemara will elaborate on that. The second case is hachotit begadish laso sukkah ina sukkah. You have a mound of hay, pile of hay, whatever it is, and then you dig out and you hollow it out so you can sit in it. And what do you know? Now that you hollowed out some of it, there's a roof and walls and everything. That will not be kosher either. That's also due to tas of lomina asoi, because the schach was already there. You didn't put the schach on the walls, right? It's already asoi. It's already made. You have to be tasa. You have to actively put the schach on it. But no worries. We'll elaborate on that case next week. So, okay, let's break down the reisha. The Gemara starts. Lema tihavi tiyufta de Rav Huna bereid Rav Yeshua. This should be a challenge against Rav Huna bereid Rav Yeshua. Okay, well, whether Rav Huna say that seemingly is challenged by our Mishnah to Itmar Haritz Ka'omed Rav Papa Amar Mutter Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Amar Aser. So there's a general debate. Again, this kind of ties in. I think it's from Erevin, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, from Erevin, that when it comes to making mechitzas, let's say you have wall air gap, and but what if the wall is, you have 50-50? It's like, however measurement of wall, same amount of air gap, same amount of wall, same amount of air gap. So is 50-50 enough? Or do you need an actual majority? So according to Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua, 50-50 is not sufficient to close a gap in halacha, to close off an area, but it needs to be 51 to 49. You need omei meruba al haparetz, more omei, more standing than parets, than breaches. So similarly over here, the same logic should apply. It's not sufficient to have 50-50 of kosher to non-kosher schach. You should require a majority of kosher schach to the non-kosher. So what would Rav Huna say? Amar Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, my kamosan, benichnas uyotze. So the Mishnah means, you have to again kind of read between the lines, the Mishnah means that there's enough space that you can kind of take it in and out, that there's like a little bit more of a little bit more space for the kosher schach. The kosher schach does indeed cover a little bit more space than the non-kosher schach. So that way, Shalom Yisrael, everybody's. But the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Why would I read into the Mishnah something that it doesn't say? But after let's sound same. I don't know. This is like a we have measuring sticks. It's very possible that if someone's being precise, you could get 50-50 of kosher to non-kosher schach. I don't understand why what licensed us to reinterpret the Mishnah. To which, ironically, according to Rashi, the Gemara just kind of ignores the question and doubles down on this point. Aravami b'madif. So what's madif refer to? So let me pull out. Does Art Scroll give you pictures in your Gemara? I'm curious. I have in the Masifta one. Do you get pictures in the Art Scroll? Ah, well, it's a good thing it came this year because I came with pictures, and this should be lots of fun. So what are we? We're on Tess Vav Amid Beis. Let's see if I get you a picture. You know what? I could show you the picture, but you have to squint so much. I'll do it for its sake. Well, where is it? So number one, just if you want to see, that was the case at the end of the gutish of the pile that you dig out to make a hollow. So that's number one. This is so thin, it's going to be impossible to see it. I'll just show it to you. Game much from picture. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about right now, where you have kosher stock, not kosher stock, kosher stock, not kosher stock, interwoven or whatever. It's the one after the other with them. Okay, so the picture is probably not that helpful. If you really want to see a picture, I could send me an email. I'll snap it and send it to you. But the point is that so what is the case of Madif? The case of Madif is that. No, in Achinami, the Gemara, the Mishnah does actually mean where it's just a little bit more space, airspace that you could fill up with kosher schach, so that it's 51 to 49% of kosher non kosher. That's how Rashi reads it. But Tosfos, if you glance at Tosfos or just listen to me for a moment, either okay. So Tosfos is about after what Samsim says that. What do you mean? That was the question of the Gemara. The whole question of the Gemara was that it is Efshar L'Tzamtzim. It is possible to have a 50-50 sukkah. Who licensed us to put words into the mouth of the Mishnah that aren't there? So rather, what does Madif mean according to Tosos? Shemarba b'pesel ad shemechatze hashipudem. So meaning, there's the same amount of airspace to the non-kosher schach, but in addition to covering the airspace with kosher schach, you're also putting some of the kosher schach over the non-kosher schach. The nimsa schach kosher rabba al schach pasul umevadlo. So it's that some of the kosher schach goes on top of the non-kosher schach, so that way it's mevatel, it's bittel baroth. The majority nullifies the minority. That's what Toso says. Now, this is a beautiful Toso, though. On the other hand, though, that's seemingly what Rava then says at the end of the Gemara. Rava Amar Afilu Tema B'She'ein Ma'adif Yohayu Nesidim Shasi Nosan Erev Nosan Shasi. So let's say the non-kosher stock is going vertically.
Like that, crosswise.
Yeah, lengthwise. Thank you. I got the wrong word. I think verticals this way. Lengthwise. So then the kosher schach goes widthwise. Widthwise. Goes by the width. So, but basically, the way Rashi explains it is that the same phenomenon is occurring, in which it not only covers the airspace that's required, but it's also covering some of the non kosher schach. So there's more kosher to non kosher, and it is mevatel. The non-kosher side. That's what Rashi says. Havale kosher meruba ala apostle umevatla. This harkens back all the way to the beginning of the Masechta. Everything always comes back to the first daf there. That Rashi also used that kind of language when we were talking about shade versus non-shade. And Rashi, if I can poke back at it for a moment, said hamuat batel berot, that the minority is nullified by the majority. So Rashi consistently applies that logic once more. But even Tosis agrees with it here. All right, that brings us to the end of our Gemara for tonight. Let me pause for any questions that we may have before concluding. All right, well, hopefully we should be able to merit to see the learning that we've done, all the intricacies of Sukkah come to life. I think it's a remarkable thing, God willing. I mean, I don't personally own a sukkah because I'm in an apartment, but when I will be sitting in one sukkah or another, or the shul sukkah, or this sukkah, or that sukkah, I look around and I'm like, wow, there's a lavud over there. Many people like to use lavud for their sukkahs. Our neighbors, they don't have a balcony, so they have fencing. And the fencing are all within 3 tefachim of each other. So it forms, so they don't even have to build anything on top. And you see good asik. You see how if you have 10 tefach walls, we see as if it reaches the top. So there's all sorts of different mechanisms that we've been learning about that exist in sukkah. So it's I think there was a bit of a discussion. Is there a mila to dafka building a sukkah in a way that you have to employ all these different halacha moshe and all these different methods? Or is it better not to use all these methods? So I'd say use these methods. It could be a lot of fun and we could put our learning to the test. Okay.
Is that
Wish
why it's
you
supposed to rain
all
tomorrow night?
yeah, we didn't get to that Gemara yet, so
Oh,
yeah.
perfect. All right.
Rabbi,
Thanks
I'd be
for
afraid
that.
to have you in my sukkah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, what's he gonna find?
no worries. I'm sure you'll have very nice kosher sukkahs.
God, this year I'm not even having, but anyway.
All right. Well, everyone should have a good Shabbos, good Yontif, and God willing, we'll pick it up next week.
Thank
All right.
you.
Take
Thank
care.
you.